Now, imagine you are a second-year vet student looking for a mentor. Sure, you can probably find a local vet to mentor you, but what if you're a vet student who identifies as trans? Is it possible to find a mentor who is both a vet and transgender? Someone who can help you navigate your study and your personal life? Well, the Pinnacle Foundation is a group that exists to help young people in this situation reach their full potential. This morning, I am speaking with Dr. Jim Sait, the mentor manager from the Pinnacle Foundation, to find out more about the valuable work the group is doing. Jim, thank you for your time.
A pleasure.
So, can you give us a bit of background into the type of support the Pinnacle Foundation provides?
Sure. It was founded about 10 years ago, and since that time, we've been gathering funds through donations in order to provide scholarships for young LGBTI people who are studying at TAFE or university. And with each scholarship, we provide a mentor, which is sort of where I come in. And we've got a register of mentors, which has about 300 people on it, and they are all around the country, just as the Pinnacle Scholars are all around, are located all around the country. And we try and match a scholar with a person who shares the same sexual identification, preferably the same location, and also the field of interest. So your vet person needs to have another person who's a professional vet. So the mentor is a role model to show them that they can be successful.
Right. And so what else does your role as a mentor manager kind of entail?
We look a lot at the right kind of behaviors for mentors in order to make sure that the scholars achieve success. So we, because this is a group of young people that also has probably more mental stress and lots of other young people, and young people generally have lots of mental stress, we look at ways of supporting people in terms of their mental well-being, their physical well-being, and we look at the kind of empathy and sympathy that a mentor needs to show to a young scholar.
Right, and how do you go about finding, willing professionals to match with your mentees? I guess they all share the same empathy as they understand the situation themselves, having lived through it.
I think so, and I think that's the fantastic thing. And I start off by, this year we've awarded 30-odd scholarships. Some of them are continuing, and there were 20-ish new scholars. And in order to do the mentor matching, I took the scholars and de-identified them in terms of a short biography, which I circulated in each state to the mentors I had on my register. So I got five or six people would often respond to say, I'd love to be the scholar for S1, South Australia, S2, or N1 or N2. And I was able to allow the scholar to have, again, a kind of de-identified biography of the mentor, and the scholar could decide who seemed to be the best fit for them. When I didn't find someone, as in the case of a scholar studying in vet science at Charles Sturt University, I was able to get on to Rainbow Vets, an organization which I'd never heard of before, but a subgroup within the veterinary, I don't know what you call it, veterinary organizations across Australia, I guess, and made up of LGBTI vets. And I talked to the head of that group, who said, well, let me look around. And off they went, and they found a vet for me, not quite located as close to the scholar as I would normally wish, but the scholar and mentor have met, they've engaged with each other, they now talk pretty much every fortnight on Skype. So there's a real availability on the part of the mentor to the scholar. And more fun things happened. Out of my own history in executive search, where I worked with a lot of universities, I was able to contact people who I'd placed as deans or deputy vice chancellors and say, I need someone in engineering who is going to be a mentor for a young male engineer, or I need someone in medicine who can mentor a young woman who is nearing her final year. And they just responded with enormous enthusiasm and help. And it's one of, I guess for me, it's a consequence, an unlooked for consequence of the marriage equality activity, that we've got a whole lot of people across the country now who feel even more engaged with the LGBTI community than they had ever done before, and who respond to being reached out to in a way that no one had anticipated.
Completely. It is fantastic to hear, and especially that one-on-one kind of tailored experience. It's, very, very great to hear. What is one of the highlights for you so far with being, being involved in the program?
Well, I guess one of the highlights is that a scholar a couple of years ago who is now a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford. So that, our first two scholars, one was homeless, dyslexic, had never completed year 12, and the foundation helped that scholar complete year 12. And we've gone all the way across the range now to having people completing PhDs and people going off to Oxford as Rhodes Scholars. And it's a tremendous sense of achievement that we can help people who are disadvantaged and discriminated against to achieve the potential that they have locked up inside them. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something to be celebrated. Dr. Jim Sait, thank you so much for your time on the show today. It's absolutely great work you've been doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.